I kind of thought that this would be over mid-April, but I feel like we're just starting and it's, I don't think this is going to be over until May now. My name is Christina Peebles. I've been in the service industry about 14 years now. I am a server, bartender, and a certified sommelier. I think it's really starting to set in a little more just because it's already been 2 weeks for me. A lot of people are just getting to where I was 2 weeks ago with being laid off, with being forced to stay home, with self-quarantining. For me, it's like everything, all my layoffs happened within 48 to 72 hours. And now everybody is starting to get laid off.
As COVID-19 continues to spread across the U.S., people who make their living in the food and beverage businesses are struggling to stay afloat. Orlando, Florida, a center of America's hospitality industry, has been especially hard hit. Many servers, bartenders, and sommeliers here are entering their third week of unemployment. Independent bars, restaurants, and wine shops are juggling new realities on an almost daily basis. The new wrinkle last week? Stay-at-home orders in two local counties. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
A curfew just came out for Orange County, so you're not allowed to be outside of your home unless you're going for medical supplies, food supplies, medical treatment, gas, or exercise. You can like run around the block essentially.
Yeah, that was a stressful day, just a little bit, when it was announced. I'm Melissa McAvoy, owner of Swirlery Wine Bar with my partner, Damian Roman. You know, I was reading the article and looking for somewhere, you know, that we could still sell wine and just couldn't find it in the actual memo. And it made me a little unsettled, a little nervous.
Reading through the actual guidelines, I mean, it was tough to find the specific verbiage. My name is Rob Chase, and I'm the owner of Digress Wine, College Park.
As soon as I couldn't find anything in there, the first thing I thought about was, well, you know, let me call Tim. You know, Tim obviously is the big guy over there at Tim's Wine Market. He's been, gosh, operating here in Orlando for, is it over 20 years, right? I figured he would know what was going on. It was busy, and then I rang up Total Wine, and they're like, well, we're gonna still serve. And then, you know, I called my distributor, you know, I was like, Randy, what's going on here? It was a little nerve-wracking for just a few moments. But then I figured it out, found it at the very bottom.
Completely out of place for everything else.
And that brought, you know, just a huge relief that we can, you know, still sell wine and keep things going.
Glad that, you know, there was some tiny print to read it all. That's great. There's at least the potential for a stream of income. Now, the only thing to worry about after that is are people going to be out and about enough to be sporting? Of course, people are going to be getting groceries, but it's also easier to go to Publix and throw a few bottles of whatever in the cart while you're there and save yourself another trip. And I think that's going to be a challenge too. It always is. But with people wanting to limit their exposure to everything, that could be a hit, and I could see that being something we suffer from. Most people assume that we're closing, so it's a lot of the conversations are like, all right, you guys are gonna have to close up, right? Or this is our last day, right? So that's only the people I got to speak to. So now it's just a matter of getting the word out to everybody else and making sure that everybody's aware. I think that's gonna be a pretty major part of it.
You know, I'm doing everything I can to stay healthy, taking all my vitamins, you know, eating all my veggies. I'm not worried about it. My partner, Damian, you know, he worries a little bit more about it than I do for some reason. And that's really the main reason why, you know, we just haven't let people come into the store. And we kind of started that sometime last week. like they have to call us. We'll put their order together. We'll figure out what they want. And then we'll just drop it off in the trunk for them. I don't get to talk to them anymore. It's just really, you know, ring me up. We can chit chat on the phone, right? But then when you come here, I just get you your wine as quickly as possible in your vehicle and send you on your way.
Some people are a little bit more relaxed and it's business as usual. You know, we'll walk through and find what it is they're looking for and get the appropriate wine in their hands. Other people are going to call. They've got their favorites and I'll go deliver to them. I've got another couple that lives across the street that's got some health issues and I'm, you know, close the door for a minute and run it over and drop it on their porch. So they're not nervous about it on the surface, at least through our conversations, but you know, they're having fun with it and just taking the right precautions and being like, look, this is where we are and here's what we need to do. And, you know, I'm more than happy to accommodate whatever it is I can do to help. So there's not a panic. I don't see a real fear yet other than those people that are experiencing real financial hardship right now.
I filed for unemployment yesterday.
That system is so complicated and worded so strongly that it makes it really, really easy to give up. So you go on the website and it's like, hi, you're filing from unemployment. When have you been out of work? And then you put your little date. And then in big red bold caps, it says, unemployment fraud is a felony. And then it gives you all the statutes of, if you get any of this wrong, you're going to jail. And it's just, it's worded so confusingly that you're just like, oh goodness. And then when you put in your social, it says, the system is overwhelmed. We can't accept you now.
You know, in the beginning, I had a couple people, you know, service industry, they're just laid off. So I think this was kind of like their last little stock up before, you know, they really needed to kind of hunker down and find some employment or save some money and just ride it out. Most people that I deal with are just working from home now. You know, I think the people that are really out and have been let go and are really taking this hit are not, obviously they're not coming through the doors here. And that's heartbreaking, of course, but it's kind of where we're at.
So through the United States Bartenders Guild, unemployed service industry professionals can go on there, and they've been giving away 50 free meals a day at various locations across Central Florida. Everything's takeout, of course, but it's a really nice gesture. I went to the first one at Domu in Dr. Phillips, and it was an appetizer and a ramen that you could receive. It started from 4 to 7, so we got there at like 3:55, and there was probably already 50 people there. Everybody kind of spread out across sidewalks, trying to stay pretty much apart, but there were big groups of people that ended up knowing each other. So it's like also going to events like that to pick up a meal is socially helping me. Being stuck in my house for 2 weeks has been a lot. Talking to people online, sharing memes, like all that's fun and games. But if I haven't seen anyone face to face in 2 weeks, that's hard. And that's starting to get a little nerve-wracking. But I kind of felt bad because I have groceries at the house, you know what I mean? And I think that this is kind of early in the game, because I don't think the people in the service industry, frankly, are starving at this moment in time. But I know I've been out 2 weeks, so I've been forwarding this information along to the people that I was about to work with at Marriott. You know, their phone's about to be shut off, and they've got a 5% discount on their rent, and that was it.
Going to end up working a delivery component in here this week. just utilizing the help of a couple people in the business that have already been significantly affected by this. So been talking to a buddy that was let go, and from a distributor. And so, you know, obviously there's not much I can do to even come close to replacing that income, but even if it's just a few dollars in the pocket and, you know, the chance to keep working, everybody's willing to take that at this point.
My mom does work at Publix, and she has been so busy over the last few weeks, as we can only imagine. But, you know, she feels like she has a job to do, and, you know, she needs to do it, you know, to be there to help the company and to help all the people get all their groceries. So, and even we spoke to Damien's father last night in New York, and he's, you know, definitely of retirement age, I think, and still working and still taking the subway. And we're just like, really, like, wow, you're taking the subway. I'm calling my grandma, you know, almost every night. I skipped last night, so I'm like, oh, I better call, like, should I call early today since I skipped last night? It's been probably since my birthday, March 1st was the last time I went down there to have dinner. And I think, you know, there may be a family dinner happening, but then I want to be honest, like, you know, we're not supposed to be like visiting our friends, right? I mean, I don't know if we should be visiting our family either. I don't know. I think I'm just going to continue to stay at home like I'm supposed to do, right? I come here, sell wine, and go home. That's kind of my life right now.
It's a fear for my family's health. My grandfather is in a VA hospital. He's super old and has a touch of dementia. So my cousin just had a baby 4 days ago, and I'm concerned about her too, you know? She's 4 days old, and even my mom has been a little nervous, a little scared. She is 60. She has an upper respiratory infection and strep throat right now. She went to go get tested, just an urgent care. They did not test her for coronavirus, which I was really disappointed in. And they said that she's not in the age demographic to even test her because she's only 60 and not 65. She's a hugger and she can't, you know, touch anyone, and she feels very alone, and she's by herself where she lives. And I went to go see her the other day. We had to exchange some supplies, and we're in a parking lot. She opens the trunk. I put the stuff in. You know, I get back in my car, she gets back in her car, and we sit in our cars with the window down, talking between a parking space. And she's like tearing up, saying goodbye to me. And I think the even harder thing is hearing what happens if you have a loved one who gets sick. You can't visit them in the hospital. Like, what if she was sick and they were just like, oh, we need to admit her? You know what I mean? What if she started deteriorating and she was in there and I still couldn't, like, they just can't allow you to see them.
Well, my daughter's itching to get out of the house, but that's not happening. So it's been cool to see. You know, I think I've spoken to both of my kids more in the past couple of weeks than I have in years. I mean, overall, they're losing their minds. They're so bored. But it's kind of awesome when you have a 15 and 18 year old and they want to talk to you. So I'll take it. Overall, this has been a good week. I think the uncertainty of, you know, our stay at home situation was driving people to stock up for sure. You know, getting up in the morning, like, there's a million things I'm behind on. There's a million things to catch up on. And then on top of that, I've got to find, you know, some new ways to kind of adapt to this. So it's not a complete panic fear, but, you know, there's always that underlying anxiety that's just kind of under the surface that keeps you moving.
the business is definitely what motivates me to get up in the morning and to hustle up here to open up the doors and just get the daily routine going. We had a great week. We stayed busy. We hit our personal goals that we had set every day. It's still been a little bit challenging this week because it's been a few up and downs, but I think maybe things are settling down now as we kind of know where we stand, I think, for the next 13 days, right? Or something like that. So I think the focus is now back. I'm ready.
My week has been complicated. It's been a little more nerve-wracking seeing that we surpassed China in total cases, but this is going to make me tear up, but the guy who plays Olaf in Frozen, right? He had an Instagram post and it was just a picture of him. And he was like, in this moment, I'm sad. And that's okay. That moment will pass. But it's okay to have these overwhelming feelings because we all are having them. It's when we don't talk about them or we say that they're not okay. That's the problem.
Thanks to Christina Peebles, Melissa McAvoy, and Rob Chase for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. If you work in the wine industry, please share your story too. Record a short voice memo on your phone and email it to orlandowineblog@gmail.com. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. Visit us at orlandowineblog.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando composer Julian Bond for providing some of the music for Unwinding, and to Amy Tardif for editorial assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.